number R2R number 3. The following message, titled The Seven Great Ifs, was given Friday evening, October 7th, 1960.
We want to praise God for victory. How many of you praise God for victory tonight? Huh? We're serving a victorious Jesus. Hallelujah to God that went down into hell and death and has come up with the keys. And nothing can stand before him. Isn't that right? Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, just for a little while, I would like to look at the subject with you, the seven great ifs in the New Testament. You know, this way that we go and this way that we take and this Jesus that we serve, there's some ifs that are attached to it. I find so many folk, beloved, in the day in which we live, that they want to pass over the little ifs, and they want to get the inheritance, and they want to get the blessing, and they want to get the growth without meeting the condition. But God has attached some conditions to be met in this way. And if we meet the condition, we get the blessing. And if we meet the condition, we get the spiritual growth. And if we meet the condition, we get the spiritual knowledge. If we meet the condition, we get the power. If we meet the condition, we get our healing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, I tell you, we serve a real wonderful God. And his name is Jesus. I'm the Messiah, that's right. Hallelujah. Let's go to the 17th chapter, I believe it is, of Matthew. And beloved, we see the first if that touches the very foundation of our building. It touches our faith. It touches our faith. And surely faith is the foundation of your spiritual building tonight. If you have a spiritual building, it's built on faith. If you have healing tonight, it's built on faith. The Bible said, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Everything you get from God must be built upon faith. Oh, wonderful Savior. And we read here, listen to me, of an account where that even though that Jesus had committed unto his disciples a special impartation and portion of power, and we had read here where they had done great and mighty and wonderful things, there comes a case before them that is too hard for them and too difficult. And beloved, I don't know how you feel, but I realize my need before God constantly to go on. We are in a day where there's so much self-righteousness and spiritual pride. And they spend all their time looking backward to the few treasures that they've gained from God. It's wonderful to look backward once in a while and take stock of, and keep books and give thanksgiving afresh and anew for what God's done for you back there. How he's brought you out of the horrible pit. How he's washed your soul in his precious blood. How he's baptized you of the Holy Ghost. How he's brought you into the light of his precious name. It's wonderful to look back and give thanks. But beloved, if you don't look ahead and ask God to increase your vision, if you keep on looking back, you're going to get so proud and so heady and so high-minded and so puffed up that after a while, you're just standing looking backwards and you think you're looking forward.
Amen.
But beloved, listen. Our goal is the measure of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the prize that Paul talked about in Philippians. The Apostle Paul, who suffered so much for his name, who counted all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus his Lord, and counted them but dung that he might win Christ. Hallelujah. And be found in him, as Paul said, not having his own righteousness, but that which is through the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he said that I may know him. There's your stature. If you don't know what the stature of his fullness is, Paul cried out, if you don't name. He'd already been baptized in his name. He'd already been baptized in the Holy Ghost. He'd already walked with the Lord for a long time. And yet we find it crying out in the third chapter of Philippians that I may know him. May know him. And that word know, it's like a husband and a wife. But beloved, you can come and you can speak in tongues and you can pray and you can go away with your heart empty.
Amen.
Because you haven't had a taste of him.
Amen.
If you don't eat of him, and how are you going to eat of him? Beloved, he is the Word.
Amen.
And when the Holy Ghost enters into this written Word and causes to stand up in your heart, that's how you eat of him. Glory to God. Bless his sweet name for him. I love him tonight. He's so wonderful. He's so precious. And as long as I can eat of him, as long as I can taste of him, as long as I can feel his love permeating to the bottom of my soul, as long as I can feel the very depths of my being going up in praise and adoration and love to him, then I'm satisfied. Oh, that I might know him and the fellowship of his suffering. You'll find, beloved, that that's the first thing you want to run away from, his suffering. The flesh does not like to suffer. The flesh don't like for people to make fun of him. The flesh don't like for people to say you're crazy. The flesh don't like for people to say you've gone off of your rocker. You've gone off of the deep end. The flesh doesn't like any fellowship of his suffering. What was his suffering? The flesh don't like to stand alone. When your neighbors are forsaking you, when your friends are forsaking you, when things like that, even your mother and your father forsaking you, even when your pastors are forsaking you, it seems like when you're all alone, what do? Most of the time you weep and cry and feel sorry for yourself and holler, Jesus, why has this happened to me? And we're so blind that we can't see that he's trying to teach us of the fellowship of his suffering.
Amen.
Oh, that you might eat of him. Eat of him, because, beloved, he suffered and he walked alone. Hallelujah. Everybody turned their back upon him. They mocked him. They scoffed him. They didn't want to have anything to do with him. They said he was mad and he had a devil. But he was still the blessed, sweet, spotless Lamb of God. He was still my sweet Jesus and my sweet Savior, regardless of what they said about him. The fellowship of his suffering. I could preach all night long and preach the rest of the week every night and not exhaust the revelation and experience even in my own heart, let alone in the Word of God, concerning the fellowship of his suffering. Sometimes God brings suffering to your home. Sometimes children of God will let there come a rift, as it were, between husband and wife for the time being, just to let you see how much that Jesus Christ means to you. Because when he means everything to you can be left standing alone and you can still say from the bottom of your heart, he's all I need.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But we find, beloved, most of the times when we get in suffering, that he is not all that we need, or at least we think he's not. And we want the sympathy. We want the understanding. We want this. We want that from people around about us. Isn't that true, huh? That you may know him and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Being made conformable. How are you going to be made conformable? Beloved, Paul had the secret. He said, I die daily. Oh, praise God. I'm going to let the sharp, two-edged sword of the Word of God keep cutting out of my soul and my heart and my life those things that are unlike Jesus and nail them to the cross until the stature of my flesh is hanging right there in conformity with his upon the cross of Calvary. Oh, hallelujah. And then up at the top of the cross, the last part, he said, and the power of his resurrection. I find most folk want the power of the resurrection first. But children, it don't come first. It comes after suffering and after crucifixion and death.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Now, I don't know how I got off on that, but the Lord sent somebody a message right then.
Amen.
We find, beloved, that the disciples were powerless here. They could not cast this demon out. As I started to say a while ago, I'm conscious of my need, and I cry daily to the Lord for more power. Yes, I have seen God do miracles in our life and in our ministry, but I want to see more of it. I want to see more of His power. I've seen God raise the dead twice. I may never see it again, but I've seen it twice in my life. I've seen God do great and mighty things, but then there are other times, beloved, when people come and stand before us and you feel so powerless and you feel so helpless. And you feel kind of like these disciples felt here when they couldn't cast out this demon. And so I cry unto the Lord daily for Him to increase His resurrection power. And beloved, I know the price for resurrection power. It's for Sister Hicks to die daily and to suffer daily with Him. And then I'll be brought up daily in greater resurrection and power. Amen. Oh my. I had the Lord say to me the other night when I was crying to Him for greater power in the ministry. And he asked me, he said, "Do you really want it?
Yeah.
Do you really want it?" You know, sometimes, beloved, there's a side of our pride. Did you know that? Our spiritual pride that wants more power. We'd like to have it so we can just use it until we get tired. So that everybody can see how much we've got of God and how big and wonderful we are. And God took me back to that time when we was in that big revival in Mexico, in that big church there. And we prayed all night long, ministered all night long, started at 8 o'clock at night and going right around the clock until 8 o'clock the next morning. That's no far-fetched tale. Some of you have heard Sister Graciela bear witness because she stood by my side and interpreted for me as we worked in that great meeting and saw God do miracles and saw God pour out His power. And I got so tired in those meetings. You don't know what it's like to pour out until there's nothing left, until you feel like you're a wrung-out sponge with not one drop of life left in you. And I used to get so tired when the little ones would come. The people. And they would call me Hermana. That means sister. And they'd say, "Hermana Hicks." And then they'd start telling me what they wanted. Whether it was the Holy Ghost or whatever it was. Whether it was healing for their bodies. And I got so tired. My body got so tired. You ever been that tired? But your flesh was that tired that it didn't want to be offered anymore. It didn't want the fellowship of its brethren anymore. But Jesus wasn't like that when He hung upon the Calvary's cross, beloved. He poured out every drop of His blood. And He never wanted to slap back. Even the very ones that were tried and had driven in the nails. He just cried out, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." You get under pressure and you'll find out what's inside of you. Yes, we'd like to have the power. If our prayer line wasn't any bigger, Brother Ramson, than the back door, and we didn't have to work any later than 1 or 2 o'clock. And it didn't cost us too much. The Lord asked me, "Do you want the power?" And it set me back up on my feet before God. And I said, "Lord, I don't know whether I do or not. I have to be honest." Then I thought a while and I prayed on. And I surrendered it first to the Lord. And I said, "Lord, yes, I do want it.
Yes.
I do want it, Lord. I do want to die inside. I do want to get to the place where I can delight in my life being poured out day and night." That's what God's preparing me for now. That's the way my soul goes. Day and night, my soul is not my own. Tomorrow, folks driving in from Evansville and Owensboro and other places, my house will be full tomorrow. It's not just my little church here, but it's the work all over that calls and drains. But I'm learning, and I want you to pray for me. These folks here, they didn't have the power to deal with this demon. And notice they brought him unto Jesus. And notice in verse 20, that's the one that we want to talk about. And Jesus said unto them, "Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you," and here's the first "if" that we want to talk about tonight, "if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, 'Remove hence to yonder place,' and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you."
Amen.
How be it? He said, "Unto Moshiach." He said, "How be it? This kind goeth out by prayer and fasting." What was he talking about? He wasn't always talking about that demon that was in that person, beloved, that they couldn't cast out, but he was talking about that spirit of unbelief in their own heart.
Amen.
Beloved, fasting and prayer should be for your own temple first.
Amen.
I've seen a lot of young ministers that they wanted to set the world on fire and turned upside down. It's like a lot of folk, when their eyes get open to the precious crucified way and going on with Jesus, they have the same zeal. Lord, let's do this thing overnight. Let's turn it upside down when we're not. It doesn't work that way, children. And so they'll fast and pray because you know what they're trying to do? Listen, it's the spirit of Simon. They're trying to buy the power from God.
Amen.
Without it working in their own lives first.
Amen.
They're going to buy this power so they can go out and use it and show everybody how great they are.
Yes.
They're not aware of that, but that's how it works. And then when it doesn't happen, they're brought face to face with reality. Then many of them give up, Brother Rancher, and they never preach another sermon.
Praise the Lord.
But beloved, if you'll start on this temple here first, fasting and prayer to get out the unbelief, you won't have any trouble when you come up against the devil.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, when your motives are right. And your motive is only right when you do what you want or what you do, even in seeking God, because you want to get closer to Him, not because you want to be a big shot before other people. Bless God. Now He said, if you have faith as the grain of mustard seed, that's the first if. That's the foundation. It touches, it rocks your very foundation, because everything you have, the foundation of it is faith.
Amen.
In the spiritual realm. Isn't He wonderful? Don't you love Him? Say amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not preaching. I'm just going to teach to you a spell, maybe. Let's go to Matthew, the 18th chapter, and let's see another if there. Praise God. Let's start with the 15th verse. Because it all touches the same thing here. He says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he will hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. God has always believed in witness.
Amen.
It's always been three at the most. That's what God prefers. He will accept two, but He prefers three. It was in the Old Testament. It's in the New Testament. God Himself has divided Himself and revealed Himself in a threefold way as a witness unto man.
Amen.
1 John said in the 5th chapter, He said there are three that bear record or witness in heaven.
Amen.
The Father, and the Word, which is the Lord Jesus, and the Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And He said, there are three that bear witness in the earth. There's three that bear witness of your salvation. What are they? The blood, and the water, and the Spirit. Amen. There's the threefold witness in your foundation of what's happened to you. Amen. And so, notice here. And He said, and if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man, as a publican. That's strong language. But you know something, beloved? So many churches are so scared to death of losing one or two members that they're scared to death to correct sin.
Amen.
And they, see how the devil, the flesh, will blind you? If you correct sin and people don't mean business, children, they're better off out of your midst.
Amen.
Then God's Spirit is free to work and to draw in.
Yes.
Amen.
Oh, yes.
There's a lot of people that don't come to God because of the lies that so-called believers and Christians are living in the church.
Amen.
God help us. He said, verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. What's he talking about? If you're obedient to deal with sin,
yes,
then you'll have the binding power and the loosening power.
Yes.
And he said, again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. I'm the Messiah. What is this whole portion about? Agreeing. And why do you go to your brother when he's in the wrong? Why do you go to him when he's in sin? It's because you want him to agree to go God's way.
Amen.
And to go in Jesus' nature and disposition and attitude. And when you get two people, you get Jesus' attitude and I get Jesus' attitude, saying we got power before God.
Amen.
To bind and to loosen.
Amen.
Now I know some folks, they're trying to work this binding power and this loosening power in the flesh. And it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. But beloved, there's a real agreement.
Yes.
There's a real agreement. I'm the Messiah.
Thank you.
Yes, glory to God. And you know something? I imagine that a brother could testify to that. Do you know who the hardest people in the world there is to get to agree?
Yes.
Who are they, brother?
The ministers.
You know why? Now here's our beloved brother. We appreciate his ministers in our midst. And bless his heart, I just work him to death every time he sticks his head in the door. Oh, you think I'm jealous of that? Well, I hope God knocks me right in the eyeball if I am. Because I haven't lived on my face before Jesus and looked in the mirror of his word and cried out for crucifixion of fleshly jealousy for nothing.
Amen.
But if I was jealous, you think I could agree with my brother when he goes to pray for the sick? You think God would have worked like he's worked here, Brother Ramshire? No, sir. That's what... Oh, glory be to God. Well, hallelujah. Praise God. Some people might not understand. They might not like it, but I tell you, I sure get a blessing when God anoints brother to work. To work. Yes. To walk. Amen. Praise the Lord. To walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. And so if we can just get folk to agree, if we will agree, we can have anything. And we have seen God do that. We're just poor people here, but you'd be amazed what God does for the missionary field through this little church. And we get down and we try to get in God's Spirit. Not that we're perfect, don't you misunderstand. And if our boast tonight is anything at all, it's in Jesus Christ. Because, beloved, I know where I was when Jesus found me. Out in the nightclubs, playing in an all-girls dance orchestra, lost and undone, miserable as hell itself. Oh, sure, while I was beating that bass violin and had the applause, there was a certain amount of satisfaction in the flesh, certain amount of pleasure. But when I came home and the hooray was all over with, my heart was like lead and heavy as could be. That's where I was when Jesus found me. And my, how he's worked me over. He's got a long way to work yet, but if you just see what he's worked in me, you would be amazed. Some of you knew me before God started working me over, so you can bear witness of what Jesus has done. But beloved, if we can just get people to agree, and it isn't that you're going to agree in your mind that you want something, and I'll agree with my mind that God ought to give it to you. That is what he's talking about. It's an agreement in the nature of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When his love comes in your soul and his love comes in my soul, then we can agree. When his humility comes in your soul and his humility comes in my soul, then we can agree.
Yeah.
You see what he's talking about? Amen. All right, let's go, beloved, to the 14th chapter of John and verse 14 and learn about something else. If we can get faith and if we can agree and if we can do something else. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It's a further revelation of what we were just talking about, that matter of agreeing. Let's look at it in John. Let's begin the 13th verse of the 14th chapter of John. And he says here, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it.
Yes.
I'm the Most High God. Glory to God. He said, if you'll ask anything in my name. But you know what it is, children? I'm going to show you a little secret here. There are two sides of it. Here, there you are before the Lord came into your heart. And then when you accepted Jesus, you got a little baby heart there in the image of the Lord. But sometimes we don't pray out of this heart here. Sometimes our prayers arise out of this place up here. You believe that?
Amen.
Huh? And so we pray out of the flesh sometimes, and we say, Lord, do this, Lord, I want this, oh God, grant this, do that. And then we put Jesus up here on top of it. And we say, now Jesus, I've asked it in your name. No, you haven't. That's not what he's talking about. That's not what he's talking about. Because, beloved, when we ask out of this side of our nature, it's always to please ourselves. It's always to consume it upon ourselves. It's always for our own will, our own way. Did not James say over there that have not because you ask not? And then again he said, you ask and you receive not because you ask amiss, that you might consume it upon your own flesh.
Yes.
That's how we miss. Even though we've tacked the name of Jesus on it, it don't work that way. Amen. Praise God. But beloved, when we ask out of this new nature, praise God, and tack his name onto it, he said, you can have anything then.
Yes.
Glory to God. I'm the Messiah, because everything back there, beloved, is like him. You see that, huh?
Yes.
It's like him.
Hallelujah.
And any desire that arises out of that heart is pure. It's for God's glory. It's for his kingdom. It's for the edification of his saints. And so he said, if you'll learn to ask in the right way. If you'll learn to ask in the right way. Praise God. And then again, over here down in verse 15, praise God. He said, if you love me, praise God. He said, keep my commandments. Praise God. And again, he mentions that over there in verse 14, in the 15th chapter. And he says here, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you.
Yes.
If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you keep my commandments, you'll be my friend.
Yes.
Praise God. You know something? If you love him, he'll take you as a bosom friend.
Yes.
He'll take you just like a husband takes his wife and shares with her all of his secrets, or he should.
Amen.
If they're really one before the Lord.
Amen.
You should share things one together and not hide one from another. You should share.
Amen.
Because God considers you one.
Amen.
Now then, remember back there how Abraham walked with the Lord? And God says, shall I hide from Abraham that which I'm going to do? No, he says, I'm not going to hide it from him.
Whoa.
I'm the Messiah! Oh, beloved, when you love him and you keep his commandments, he'll wake you up in the night hours. He'll wake you up in the early hours. He'll speak to you during the day. And he'll reveal the secrets of touching his people and touching his kingdom. And give you an invitation to have a part in it. So he says, Abraham, come here. I'm going to destroy that wicked city, those two wicked cities called Sodom and Gomorrah, because they're a stench in my nostrils anymore. That's the effect of the words he said. He didn't say those very words, but that's what he meant. And Abraham had the privilege to plead for that city.
Amen.
Now you say, what was the good of God letting Abraham plead for those cities when all the time God knew there wasn't enough righteous people left in it to save it? I wonder if you can give me the spiritual answer. Now what? God never does anything foolishly. If you don't understand it, it's just because you don't understand it.
Amen.
But God never does anything foolish. You believe that?
Amen.
Are you serving a foolish God? I'm not.
No.
He doesn't waste a jot or a tittle in this word.
Amen.
Even the jots and the tittles in Hebrew have meaning. Did you know that?
Yes.
That's right. Now, why did he do that? Can you imagine? Why did God let Abraham plead for Sodom and Gomorrah when all the time God knew there wasn't enough people in it to save it, huh? Of course, God was going to get Lot out anyway. He'd made provision. The angels were already on the way to get Lot out. It gave Abraham a chance to grow through compassion and love. Children, let me tell you something. This is a good thing to learn. Don't forget what I'm telling you tonight. Let me ask you this question. How many times have you labored with somebody and you've prayed and you've labored and you've prayed and then they didn't come through and that old spirit come on you? Well, what was the use? You wasted your time. Let's see your hand. Be honest out there, huh? Huh? You didn't waste your time. You grew in that thing. See what I mean? Every time you exercise, it's like exercising your muscles. Like those boys that go down there to the Y, they lift these heavy weights and all of that. Every time they exercise, they develop a little more power. Every time you exercise love and compassion, you exercise a little more power and a little increase of growth inwardly. Did you know that? And some people, their hearts that God puts before your pathway for your growth in the process of ministering to them and not what you actually accomplished with that heart. And when you understand that, then you're never discouraged when the thing don't work out like you thought it ought to work out.
All right.
Oh, listen, you might not shout over that tonight, but if you remember what I'm telling you, you'll shout over that in the days to come.
Amen.
One of your biggest enemies as you go on in this way for God is discouragement.
Yes.
And we get discouraged because we don't understand what God is doing.
Amen.
And what God is working. But Abraham had a wonderful opportunity to exercise compassion and intercession in the behalf of those two wicked cities. Amen. And Abraham grew. I wish I had time to go back to the life of Abraham now. I'll show you how Abraham grew as a result of that. You always grow, listen, when you exercise compassion and love. And you always dwindle up and diminish when you exercise enmity and strife. You just begin to swivel like a prune inside. If you'll ask in my name, whose name was Abraham asking? The flesh wouldn't intercede, would it, like that? No, the flesh would say, that's just good enough for him. That's just good enough for them. They've been so wicked and so forth, just let them have it, God. That's good enough for them.
Yeah.
But the Spirit of the Lord reaches out with compassion and says, oh Lord. You know, sometimes I find the Spirit of God doing that in my own soul. Even though sometimes, beloved, I was going to speak on another subject, which would include that scripture over there in John. Well, I believe it comes in tonight. Yes, it does. Yes, we'll get to that one later. About there's people that sin a sin unto death. And he said, I say you shouldn't pray for that sin.
Yeah.
That healing. Did you know that? And I want to talk about the sin unto death. I wonder how many of you know what the sin unto death is. It's talking about literal death there. Because all the wages of sin is death anyway. But he's talking about going to a premature grave. I wonder if you know what that sin is. How many of you have ever wondered about that sin, huh? You ever wondered about that sin? I'm going to talk about it in just a little bit if I hurry up here. All right, praise the name of Jesus. Now, where are we? Which one are we on now?
Number four.
All right, let's go to that one. Oh, yes, up here in John 15:7. This is real precious. I want you to notice this. Notice how many ifs are connected in this business of asking with God.
Yes.
I wish I had time now to preach on the 15th chapter of John. That's another one of my favorite chapters. In verse 7, he says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask whatsoever ye will, and it shall be done unto you. We've been talking a lot about the word today. If, he says, ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye can ask whatsoever ye will. and shall be done. Conditions all along the way. If you fast and pray, you can get rid of your unbelief. You see what I mean? And the building of faith, the foundation of faith that can grow. Praise God. Hallelujah. And if you'll get rid of disagreements and get rid of sin and come together as one, there's power in heaven and in earth for you. And if, beloved, that you'll ask in His name, not ask out of your flesh, get this crucified. Ask God to teach you to discern the difference between your own desires and that which originates out of the heart of God inside of you. And if He said that you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask whatsoever you will and shall be done. How can the word abide? It means to dwell, to live, and to stay. And the only way it can do that, beloved, is to be rooted. The seed goes into the good ground and takes root downward and bears fruit upward. That's abiding. But some of the word fell in stony ground. But it didn't last very long. It didn't abide. Some of it fell on stony ground. It didn't last very long. It didn't abide. What does it mean to abide? Take root downward and bear fruit upward.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, let's hurry on here real quick. And then number, where are we? Number five. Praise God. Yes, let's get that one. And that's obedience. We had that one before in connection with the other one. But down in verse 14, he said, if you do. If you love, and if you'll do. And beloved, if you love, then you'll do. You know the reason people are not doing more? Because they don't love more the Lord Jesus Christ. As you grow in love with Him, then comes the do into your heart, to do that thing which pleases Him. And then on down in the sixth, let's go over to 1 John. Praise God. 5:14. Praise God. And he said, and this is the confidence. That we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Notice the condition. Now that goes back and confirms again. If we ask out of the will of our own flesh, He doesn't hear. But if we ask according to His will, then, beloved, don't you believe that we ought to pray more for the will of God to be revealed unto us before we ask? He said, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we have desired of Him.
Yes.
That's faith.
Yes.
If you ask it according to His will, then you know that you've got it in your hands right now before it ever comes into reality.
Yes.
That's why I know I have that little blue car in my hands right tonight. You sit still and wait. It'll be here. It'll be here. Because I saw it. You say, Sister Chicks, did you really see it? Why, children, the saints of God have been seeing things in the Spirit from Genesis to Revelation ever since they've been serving God. But there's so many people that are so far behind, they think they're in front. And they never see anything, and they think nobody else ever sees anything. How many of you, the Lord ever showed you something sometime or other, huh? Well, I'm glad I'm among friends. Praise God. Beloved, it's real. It's real. Just like God showed me the orphan's home for about, I don't know, 3 or 4 years before the Lord gave it to us. The Lord has shown us the school in Mexico. That hasn't come yet. It'll be here in due season. Oh, yes, we have a little school, one 11-room building, but God has shown us a Bible school. And I know saints all over Mexico that are praying for a spiritual Bible school where they can get this word just like here. Amen. God showed us this little church. I could go down the line. That's our everyday experience in God. It's God showing and God bringing to pass. And you know, when God shows me and I wait for His will and He shows me just as clear as I'm looking at you and then I pray, then there's that faith present that puts it in my hands before it ever gets to my hands, really, in reality. You have that confidence. You know. What is faith, beloved? Faith is knowing a thing before it ever is brought into reality. What is faith? Faith is that invisible power inwardly in us that reaches up into the invisible of God and brings it down into the visible.
Amen. Amen.
Beloved, do you realize everything before you tonight was made out of the invisible by the word of the Lord, even Jesus Christ himself? You realize that bench, that before it was a bench, it was a tree, and before it was a tree, my Jesus called it out of the invisible. It issued out of the very bowels of the word himself. You understand that? So everything I want is in Jesus. You say that's silly. The Bible teaches it that in him is everything. You believe that in Jesus is everything? Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the sweet Jesus. I think I'll just be bound to fly down to Mexico when they get that little blue car and anoint it. Praise God. We do that. Did you know that? Do you know why that old 47 Pontiac has ridden so long and been such a faithful old Indian? That's what they call it, El Indio, because of the Indian on the Pontiac. You know why? Because we laid hands on it over here on Market Street in Louisville years ago. How many years old does that make it now? Huh? Brother Don says 14. Right at 14 years old. How many of you are driving a car tonight that's 14 years old? Well, I can guarantee you one thing, son, that car of yours hasn't begun to see what the old Indian has seen. I've ridden places in that thing in Mexico till I'd be, if you won't know the truth, I was practically scared to death. When we'd be up like this, you know, or down like this, or up like this, or who knows what position. And over the roughest places, it's nobody but God. You know why it's ridden so long and been so sturdy? The anointing of God has been upon it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel victory tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now then, let's go on down here real quick and then I'll be through. And he says here in verse 16, another if. Praise God. If. There are lots of ifs. And beloved, you know, if we get into God's pattern and God's plan and God's way, there is no disappointment to a person who's walking according to the mind and the will of God. You know where disappointment and discouragement comes? When you walk according to your own will and way and it doesn't work out. Now, sometimes we can pray and pray. I used to not understand this thing. It troubled me considerably. And I'd have fits of despondency and discouragement in the spiritual and be almost ready to give up. Sometimes I'd go to a bedside of a person sick and dying, and the power of God would be present upon me, and I couldn't understand why that person wouldn't be healed and why they would go into eternity short of the days that God had promised them. But that was before God had revealed this word to me. And he says here, if any man see his brother. Now this is a situation concerning Christians.
Yeah.
And we know that God has also said that this thing even works for the sinner. But this verse was said particularly of a Christian. And we find Paul saying over there in 1 Corinthians 11th chapter, he said, if we judge ourselves, we would not need be judged. And he said, for this cause many are weak and sick, and some even sleep. They've gone to premature grave because they haven't discerned the Lord's body. What? That you can't come and eat of his flesh and his blood and go out and live like you want to live and get by with it. And if you don't judge it, beloved, then God is going to judge it.
This is the end of sermon study number R2R3.